Hey, Rentro Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode, joined as usual by the founder and CEO of Rentro Retirement, Zach Lemaster. And today we have a real estate investor who has invested with us before and who's doing a lot of different things with his portfolio right now. He is Brian, and he is joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time, Brian.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, you're an investor with us. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you got started in real estate, and did Rentro Retirement come in at the beginning, in the middle, kind of where did we factor in?
So pretty much you guys were right there in the beginning. You were referred to me by my brother-in-law, who was already investing in real estate, you know, just looking for mentorship and guidance through the process. You know, found your group on Bigger Pockets, had reached out to Zach to see if he was going to work with Rentro Retirement. He already started investing, but ultimately what I was looking for was a mentor and to kind of hold my hand through the whole process of, you know, renting through, you know, investing through real estate, where should I be looking, you know, short-term rentals. I mean, it's just so many different options that you can go through, but really what my goals were and you know, what could help me guide through, you know, ultimately what our goal was passive income and, you know, getting ready for retirement.
So tell us about that first deal then. Kind of what was the first one you decided to do, and, you know, how did that process go?
So it kind of went really smooth because of, you know, the Rentro Retirement folks and Zach, you know, kind of walking me through the whole process, you know, explaining how the neighborhoods work, where you should be investing, where you shouldn't be investing, what kind of money you were looking to investing, really coming up with an overall strategy and then executing on that strategy. So, you know, a lot of conversations with Jack, with Zach, and, you know, ultimately Zach having really the people in place for me to succeed on that first deal, you know, and then enrolling into the second deal, we did see that there was a little hiccups here and there. There's a little problem with the assessment of one of the homes we were trying to purchase, but you know what? Zach was there. He was able to help me and we were able to resolve it, where if it was by myself, I'm not sure how great that would have been. So, but yeah, the whole process, somebody standing there by your side to make sure that, you know, the due diligence was done both on my side as well as, you know, making sure that I was following through with each step along the way. And it's actually worked out really well right now. So
that's great, Brian. Appreciate the kudos there. You know, not to be too self-serving here, but we want to bring people on as, that are actually investing, right? That are actually doing it, that they've gotten multiple deals under their belt, that they're, you know, they've been investing for years, like you, you know, and have to just give some people some confidence that, hey, like, this works. And this doesn't always have to, and it's not just Rentro Retirement, but real estate in general, if you do it the right way, in the right locations with the right people, like, this is a recipe to be successful. But I actually want to back up a little bit and hear your opinion on just like why real estate. And so it sounds like by the time your brother-in-law recommended you reach out to us for some guidance, that sounds like it was your first forte into real estate. But like, why real estate out of all the other things that you could invest in or you currently were investing in? What was it about real estate that seemed interesting, like where you wanted to learn about it and put your money into it?
So I would bring it back to basically generational wealth. And what that really means to me is that, so my father, his brothers, his sisters, his grandparents, his parents, they were involved in real estate 100 years ago. In fact, my great-grandfather, I think, owned the first White Castle that was built in the Bronx in New York. So they had gas stations. They put their assets into real estate. And then a real estate organization, a company kind of came out of that. And then you see throughout the generations how that wealth has helped each person thrive and continue that asset down the road. So I do dabble with my family, but I kind of want to do things on my own. But it's how buying rental properties, buying condominiums, Airbnbs, buying commercial on a larger scale kind of showed me that, you know what, on a retirement level for myself, is my money being allocated in the right places? Is it a 401k? Is it a company stock option? Am I doing that right? And, you know, seeing these huge swings and, you know, and the fact that I wasn't going to be able to take that money or use that money until I retired, it didn't seem like it was the right way to go about things. So, you know, basically real estate, in my opinion, has always been in existence to actually make that generational wealth. And, you know, reaching out to mentors such as yourself and looking at different outlets has definitely now shown me that, you know, this is the route, this is the best way to do things.
So it sounds like you saw this firsthand, right? You saw through family that wealth was created generationally, like you're looking at a long period of investing, and then decided that you wanted to do the same thing and jump on board and then create your own destiny as well.
Right? Correct. Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of people get into real estate. They think it's going to be great. You know, the first property goes really well, and then something comes up in the portfolio, because something always comes up at one point. And the downside about real estate is your money comes directly out of your pocket whenever something goes wrong. The great part is the money goes directly into your pocket, and you don't have to wait until you have hit that age where the government lets you take it out and use it. So tell us a little bit about how you stayed in and how you thought about it whenever the first thing did go wrong, because it's kind of like, I think it was Mike Tyson who said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Everybody wants to be a real estate investor until they get that first, you know, that first repair bill where they just go, ah, this doesn't work, I'm out.
Well, I just think, you know, having the right mindset and having the right property managers in place. I don't actively manage my properties. I try to be a little more passive, so I'm spending my time geared towards what I want to do, rather than spending my time on stuff where, you know, it's not helping me grow. I am learning the aspects of the property management side, but you got to be careful with that too. Sometimes you might not get the proper managers in the right places, and you know they could take all your money. So, but that's not the case for me, and it just proves yet again, working with somebody and your organization and Zach, that you know these people have been vetted. So I did my own research as well, but you know by none Zach. You know, with experiences and you know, and dealing with other investments in the areas, pointing me into those right directions. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have, every house is gonna have an issue, right? Like it could be small, it could be large. It's just whether or not, you know, do you set aside money and do you want to tackle it? But you know, also that's what insurance is for. I have three properties as of right now, of which two I just had to buy roofs on. So, and I've had them for 2 years, but you know, it happens. So it was bad storms, went through insurance, and pretty much the insurance companies, which also, by the way, I got from Zach, and had helped me vet the insurance process, pretty much paid the full amount. So it really didn't cost me much. It just cost me a couple $100 for the deductible. And now I have a 30-year roof on an asset.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. But having the right insurance, right, is yep. That's important. You don't sometimes, unfortunately, you don't know until you need it. But that's why, or a lot of people find themselves in that scenario. And so we always want to like make sure you have the right insurance before you need it. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I mean, that's the importance of having insurance. I mean, what other assets out there? What other investments can you actually insure? In a lot of cases, like you could go as far as to insure the income on the property if you really wanted to. There is rental income insurance. And they got to pay for that, right? All insurance you have to pay for. It's a cost benefit type of scenario. But I like real estate in general to actually, you know, you can actually insure it. You can leverage the bank's money to buy an asset that you earn income from, that you get tax benefits for, that someone else is paying the loan off for you, the tenant, and then you can insure it. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, I could go on and on, get off my soapbox. But I want to talk about scalability with you, Brian, because you bought multiple properties. I think you got at least one duplex in here. And then, you know, you're investing over a period of time. It's not like you just came in and bought these, you know, a couple months ago, like you've been investing for years. And then you're also doing some creative things tax-wise as you become a more savvy and sophisticated investor. share with us a little bit about your journey of like just mentally and as you learn more, applying the knowledge that you learned both through going through like and buy more properties and doing some creative stuff on the tax side to then have more money to reinvest. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, definitely. So really went gung-ho buying the three properties over a year and a half. My, I guess actually two duplexes that I bought. We kind of wanted to get steer into more of like a multifamily route as opposed to single families. Whereas if I was holding too much property, I would have run into issues as far as, you know, getting more mortgages. And so kind of getting into more multifamily, that was early stages, which, you know, has paid benefits. But then it's also ultimately, you know, setting up for success and then for our next steps. So, you know, I've been really looking at Airbnbs. I've been really looking at commercial real estate as well as additional multifamilies, kind of looking at how the market is. Do you buy high now, refinance? You know, it's kind of a real, it's a real waiting game, but it's whether or not you want to execute on that now. So what I kind of focused on now is rather or not, am I ready to pull the trigger yet and deploy capital, or should I be setting myself up to deploy capital when the time comes? And that's in the conversations that I've had with yourself, as well as recommendations that I received from you as well as other people, setting myself up with a wealth strategist, and going through taxes, tax strategies that are available to myself and my family. So right now we're deploying a vast array. We did cost segregations on our three properties, which have allowed us to bring back over $30,000 in tax returns just this year alone. But as well as deploy my wife, who's a stay-at-home mother. I have four children. So my wife is now a stay-at-home mother, but is as well actively involved with the real estate, and our company, our family's real estate. So she is now designated as a real estate professional, in the eyes of the government. So we're also, deploying that. So through our business, you know, cost segregation, making sure that we're getting the right, policies in place that we're actually getting more money back than we should be through our real estate ventures. And I think that's what kind of gears everybody towards, you know, should I do 401k? Should I do what kind of strategy should I do to set up for success? Well, here you go. Real estate has so much behind it that it is an advantage for you to continue to invest in real estate, to continue to build your businesses. And there's not just one outlet. There's so many different outlets, and I'm deploying just a few of these right now, and it is paying significant dividends.
So talk a little bit, you mentioned about the real estate professional status. Now, obviously on this show, we've talked a bit about, you know, what that allows you to do, but would you mind telling us a little bit about how you and your wife worked to get her to achieve that real estate professional status?
So I sat her down. No.
The other way around, Brian, let's be honest here.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like,
she sat me down. I'm doing all this through now. So she knows the ventures, and she's actively interested in real estate as well. She's managing the managers. She is the anchor of the household. So therefore she's also the anchor and the driver of our interests in our business ventures. So we work collectively, you know, managing the managers, finding the properties, executing the strategies. Like this isn't just myself doing it. It's also my wife, you know, driving the whole entire operation and saying, okay, this is what we need to do in order to succeed. So, you know, whether or not there's a problem or executing a order on fixing a house, making sure that the payroll, the banks are okay, and the payments for the mortgages are going through. You know, she's really driving all that home. So, and also taking care of myself and my four children.
So wearing multiple hats. I want to talk about this just a little bit more, because this is a big thing, I think, that a lot of people either want or strive for. They're trying to figure it out, especially those raising children and building like families. There's a lot of people that look to real estate that want to replace income with, whether it's either spouse's income, partial or full replacement. I think real estate is a really cool investment, and we've certainly seen this, just like yourself, Brian, but we have a lot of case studies that we can look at where people use real estate, and it doesn't happen overnight, but eventually as you earn, enough income through rental properties where someone can, replace their income or partial income to where they can stay at home either more or completely and then oversee that. Or we've also seen the scenario where one spouse is a stay-at-home parent, and this gives them the opportunity, if they have interest in it, to oversee the this part of the family business. But it's really cool how your rental portfolio can provide some financial flexibility to do that. But you can also structure it where you get your spouse on board to be part of, engaged in the investment. That doesn't always work. My wife wants nothing to do with real estate. But the point is there's a lot of scenarios where you're seeing hey, there's a stay-at-home spouse that now they're involved in the business and it's exciting, it's fun. But more importantly, it is a business. And now this opens up the door to a lot of different additional tax benefits where you have one person that's working full-time and now you have your family, your real estate business with however many rentals, and then they're overseeing that aspect. And now you can be creative to, engage the family business about tax strategies like offsetting the active income and things like that. So I just want to talk about that a little bit as far as involving the family into the business. And again, that may not always work if someone just doesn't want to think anything about the investments, but I think it's really cool if you can structure it in a scenario where, you're making it a family business. And then you can also bring the kids into it and teach them about investing. And they see mom and dad working on the rental properties and, earning income and teaching. That provides an opportunity to teach them. I just think it's really cool how real estate can be structured that way. Do you have anything to add to that, Brian? You're kind of going down that same path now.
I think in my opinion, it's about, your network and your community and your resources that you have around you. So your family is one of your biggest assets, right? They're your family. You love them. You get them involved because they have an expressed interest and you have an expressed interest in their success, right? And the more people that you have surrounding you to make sure that you are doing the right thing and you do have the mentorships to really get you through all those cobwebs, right? You sit here, you point out there's a million different things you can do, but ultimately, what should you be doing for your certain position, right? And what your situation allow you to do. So, if you have two parents that are working full time, yeah, it could be hard to start a business. So it's really dictating what your situation is, what you want to see for your family, and then executing on that strategy and actually being able to maneuver or step to one side of it, rather than sit there and just go in blind. So the strategies that I'm implementing is not just my own strategies. It's me validating whether or not those strategies are going to work and exist and have already proven to work for others, as well as things that I don't know exists, right? So did I know that cost segregations exist, that I can depreciate the value of my property, accelerated depreciation? No, I didn't know that. But, working with yourself, Zach, I've learned that. So now I
didn't know that, but you know a guy.
Yeah, I got a guy. Listen, you got a guy. You got a guy. But then executing those strategies. So, starting a business, real estate professional, that's the cobweb. What should you do? What should you do? But executing all of these different situations for you and your family and for your success, that is what will change the mindset of your family and change your mindset of why real estate can be the driver for you to end up retiring and changing that Monday through Friday job, that job sense, and saying, I can have passive income. It's not just about the mortgage and the cash flow, but it's all the other stuff that comes with it. Implemented correctly and having the right people help you execute correctly, that's going to make you strive to succeed and retire.
Now, Zach mentioned, you know, and you talked before, you've got the children, one of whom I know is technically old enough, and maybe the second one might even be two. Have you gone around and used the tax benefits of hiring your kids to do any work for you?
That's right. I'm doing it soon enough. So I'm working.
What kind of things are you planning for?
I'm sorry.
What kind of things do you have lined up for them?
So starting a business. So I've had businesses in the past. I was recently promoted in my W-2 job. So now I have a little bit more freedom working Monday through Friday. So now executing and starting not just a property business and real estate business, but ultimately starting a business, a family business, to start executing these types of strategies. So kind of funneling the money from the real estate to the business and then executing, like you're saying. So paying out children, have our children a part of the business, a variety of things, marketing, administrative, cleaning the house.
Child labor.
Free child labor. No, but it's ultimately as well setting them up for success too, because it's showing them, it's giving them work ethic, right? But it's also engaging into the business, but also a route for them to do and able to invest in their futures. Whereas, you know, I was actively putting money into a 529 for my children, right? $100 each paycheck for four children. So was I doing that correct? Was I not doing that correct? That everybody wants to save for their children's college education, but is that the way I should be going? Not sure. So watch a Rent to Retirement podcast, and they have a wealth strategist on their podcast, and they kind of laid it all out. And guess what? Now I'm working with that wealth strategist that the Rent to Retirement connected me with. So, and now implementing those types of strategies where I'm saving for my children's college education, but it just doesn't necessarily even need to be used for their college education. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
That's great, Brian. There's so much with that to think about as far as like strategy. Like, it, I love real estate investing with, you're learning something all the time, right? Especially like on the tax and the strategy side. I selfishly love doing this podcast because Adam and I are educated from all these people in these different industries, right? And then we get to take those little nuggets of knowledge and apply them to our own investing in their own life. And there's just what you don't know what you don't know. And there's just a lot of opportunities out there, specifically surrounding real estate, around business, around tax strategy, of like different things that you can do. Because all we're taught, and we're not even really taught this, but what is common knowledge is just things like this, like, you know, your Edward Jones guy down the street or whatever is like, yep, set up a 529 plan. Well, what are the other options, right? Like, what else is there out there? I want to know what all the options are so I can make the most informed decision, right? Because there's some unique things that you can do now where you can really set yourself up, as you mentioned, about generational wealth. And it doesn't have to be overly complicated either. Like the simple fact of just like, hey, you can also just buy a house, like buy one rental property, like, you know, per kid or whatever, where, you know, in 30 years, that's going to be paid off, or yeah, possibly sooner, depending on what your strategy is, where, I mean, you can really set them up for success. But I like that we're talking a little bit about the family side of things, and incorporating your family is not just about the tax benefits in the business side. It's really about the involvement and participation and the education and giving them, you know, the tools to be successful long term. I think we all of us that have children want our children to be in a better place than we were. I know my parents certainly did. But I was listening to an Ed Milet lecture the other day, or podcast or something, but he was talking about, and he's a really passionate speaker, so it really kind of hits you hard sometimes, but he was talking about being like the one person, and I forget exactly the terms that he talked about, but you know, a lot of our family, most of us don't come from money, right? And if you do, then you sometimes have, like, you don't have to develop that work ethic. But most of us that are listening to these type of podcasts and taking an active role in our financial future, like, we have the drive and we have the fire and the entrepreneurial mindset. Like, it takes work to go out and invest in real estate and learn about this stuff. We're not just, you know, following the common path of everyone else, but he was talking about being the one person in the family, like the one person that changes everything, because everyone else just follows the norm, right? But the one person that comes in and actually changes stuff and, you know, isn't afraid of failure and adversity and comes in and actually educates themselves and takes the action. And that one person changes the trajectory of their family for years, right? And I always think about that because I want to be that one person that changes the trajectory of my family, because we didn't come from money. We had a beautiful upbringing, but I want to change the trajectory of my family where, you know, our kids are educated about that and they have, you know, generational wealth and work ethic and knowledge alongside that. So I love the family discussion on this type of stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that one person, I think you're hitting it on the head there, is where everybody can be involved, but who's driving it and who, you know, who's passionate, who's learning it, who's executing strategies, why are you executing strategies? I believe we could be that person for our families, and then, you know, raising our children to believe in these certain mindsets, like, you know, never give up, you know, always strive for something better. Like, it's this all ties in together with what we're trying to do. There's never just one way. Just because somebody tells you it's this way, well, there could be other ways that you should be thinking about. And I think that's what makes real estate so great, is because it's not just buying a house. There's so much that's involved with it. You can pivot to so many different things in order to set yourself up for success. We're just talking about taxes. We're talking about buying houses, rental. It's like, it's almost endless, right? So, and every time you learn something new, you get excited about it. You get passionate about it. You want to learn about it, right? And then, all right, is it what I think it is? Well, let me go talk to my mentor. I'm going to go talk to Zach. Zach, what do you think about this, right? And then maybe it is, maybe it isn't, right? But at least that passion is there, that drive is there.
How have y'all been broaching the real estate investing talk with your kids? Because, like, right now, you know, as Zach likes to say, I have 150 kids. But, you know, my 13-year-old, doesn't really care. My 11-year-old, oh my goodness, he loves it. He wants to talk about each property, about how much money it makes, all this, that, and the other. My twins, who are, you know, 9, they kind of know about it. But kind of, how have you introduced your kids to what you're doing?
I think it's that entrepreneurship type of mentality where it's, you know, this is why you buy an asset. And, you know, how do you make money? You know, it's like the old lemonade stand. My 9-year-old always wants to do a lemonade stand. So it's not saying I'm going to set up the lemonade stand for, I'm going to give it a lemonade and then she's going to go make a ton of money. Like, okay, so if you want to make money and if you want to do a lemonade stand, is it because you want to make money? Okay. Well, what do you want to do? I want to buy a toy. Okay. Well, then how much lemonade do you have to sell? How much is it going to cost you to actually build a lemonade stand? Because I can't just give you that money. I also have to help you. So kind of getting them to think about it, right? And think about why they want to do it, what it's going to take to execute. And then, is it where you're going to set up the lemonade stand? Where's the most traffic? It's all that stuff behind it, which helps you drive towards, you know, whether or not this is or is not something that they should be doing. So when you talk about real estate and, you know, you talk about these conversations with your children, like, we also have a dog sitting business now where we're taking the neighborhood dogs in when people go away, vacations. My family loves dogs. So my daughters are the ones that do it. So my daughters are the ones that have to take care of the dogs, and essentially they get paid the money. We just oversee them. So if they make $200, okay, well, what are you going to do with that $200? So it's okay, well, I want to go buy this, I want to buy that. Well, it's really, well, you have to give me $100, and that's going to go into your savings account for some other future endeavor. You could spend $50 on something you want, and any other $50 is something that you actually need, but the $100 goes away. So what's that $100 going to do? It's going to lead you to gaining more income to be able to buy something. And buy something meaning maybe you want to set the lemonade stand up with that $100 and turn it to $300. So it's setting up those mindsets. And the real estate, I show my daughters, I show them the properties. When we actively are looking for real estate, we look at the Airbnbs. We're actually looking in Pennsylvania right now for Airbnb in the Poconos, because we're looking for a family, really ultimately a family place where we can all go together, even our extended family. But how would we buy a real estate property or summer or a vacation rental and be able to actively, you know, afford it? So I show them how we can do it. And then, oh, wow, so we can go there for free. Well, no, it's not for free. It's your time. It's your energy. There's this money that's involved in it. And there's a lot of work behind it in order for it to look like it's free. And it's not free. So once they get out of that mindset, my 12-year-old, initially, she wasn't about it. I'd rather go play Roblox for an hour, right? But then once you start showing her, oh, we can have this house on a lake, or we can have this house on a mountain, then they start getting really interested. And then you show them all the numbers, and then they start getting involved. So it's actually been fun.
I just imagine you with the loan application for a lemonade stand, giving it to your kid and being like, I got a hard money loan for you. It's going to be 2 points, 10%.
I'm still waiting for the notary, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Got to carve out some of those profits for the lemonade stand next year, reinvest in the business. Now, I think it's all about, walking the kids through it. And it's not just giving things to them. You know, it's showing them and making them understand that, hey, you got to work for this thing. You got to build it out. You got to run the numbers, right? I always enjoyed math, and I think that kind of translated into the real estate and investing thing. Is I just like simple math, right? Of running through the numbers of a rental property, and that's just been always interesting to me. But it's fun to share that with kids. Brian, I want to, as we kind of wrap up here, I want to pick your brain about advice for people that are, just looking to get started. But before we do that, I want to do a quick plug, because you asked us about it. We just released the Rent to Retirement Academy. This is our educational platform to help teach people through a very regimented and structured course on how to be successful investing in real estate. It's a 3-month course where month one is deep dive into your kind of financial scenario, understanding, terminology, calculations, things like that. Month two is market analysis and property analysis. And then month three is like, all right, advanced strategy of business structuring, taxes, and all sorts of creative stuff. And so the goal is to really give people all the tools that they need, which is our goal anyways, but this is very in a structured path. Plus, we load it with a ton of incentives there as well. Now, this course wasn't available when you started investing with us, but you had emailed me the other day. You're like, hey, did you build this for me? I just want to talk about that. By the way, with the Academy, this is something, it's a low ticket. We do charge for it. You get coaching with it. It's a self-study course you get lifetime access to. But the best part is when you invest, you get the majority of your capital back. Like we view it as like a commitment to your education. I'm just curious to ask you kind of live on here, Brian, what stood out about that is, because we have a lot of investors like, well, why didn't you, I wish you had this for me when I started. So what stood out about the Academy program that made you email me about it?
I think it's a no-brainer. Like, this is what you guys are doing anyway, right? So you're doing it anyway, but now it's very structured, right? So definitely looking into doing the program as well, because, like you said, you're going down this route. It's about commitment. So I'm committed, right? So I'm going down this route. Look at all the resources that you're going to get. And then you're going to turn around and say, oh, you're going to buy a property. You're going to go through this route. You're looking at getting that capital back regardless, because you're investing anyway. And it's making sure that you have the resources available to you and you're structured correctly and the right way. And you have the mentorship, which is ultimately my main goal, was not only to be mentored, but mentor the next person, right? So you're getting that mentorship, right? You're getting the investment opportunities. You're getting in contact with the right folks. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win. Like, that's what everybody looks for, that win-win. It's a win-win.
Well, yeah, we always talk about investing in yourself and your education, but also doing it in an encouraging way of like applying that knowledge, right? And actually investing. So speaking of mentorship, just as we close up here, Is there any like pieces of advice you would share for someone that was in your shoes 2 or 3 years ago that's just starting to get into investing? Maybe they're a little hesitant. They're concerned about the market and rates. They don't know how to get started. Whether this is their first property ever, first property out of state, what would you tell that person that's been sitting on the sidelines and just knows that they want to take action but has been delayed in taking action?
It's very simple. Take action. That's pretty much it. You got to take action. You got to make sure that you have people surrounding you that are critical in your success. And you got to make sure that the due diligence is there. You know, if you're unsure, you're a beginner, look out for those mentorships, right? We have programs such as the program that we're dealing with that you guys are implementing. It's there. It's if you want to take action, have the people there side by side with you, holding your hand, getting you through the first deal. Second deal just becomes that much easier, right? It's just like riding a bike. So you don't know how to ride a bike. Somebody's sitting there holding you up, right? That's what this is. And that's what's going to guide you to go on and along one day.
Yeah. And I love hearing that you're, you know, even with the higher interest rates and the kind of the environment we're in, that you're still evaluating deals, looking for that, because there's way too many people out there who are just sitting around saying, well, I'm not going to buy whenever I have to pay an 8% interest rate. And it's like, well, you're good luck convincing yourself to buy whenever prices go up, whenever interest rates come down. So best of luck to that.
It's a double. Well, I think that there's probably more deals right now than there would be when it was at 3%. So you could probably get a deal and what it says now is that it's not going to stay that high, right? So the interest rates will go down, and what did everybody do? You refinance.
Yep.
So the deal's probably there. It wasn't there before. Now it is now. So that's why you got to keep constantly evaluating.
Yep. I love it. So, you know, like Brian was saying, he asked Zach a lot of questions whenever he started. And if you have questions that you want us to answer in future episodes, please email them to podcast@renttoretirement.com. We'll answer them in future episodes as we get together and answer all the things that y'all been asking. That's podcast@renttoretirement.com. If you want to check out the inventory we have, or if you want to check out the Rent to Retirement Academy, you can do that at renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Don't forget to leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. We really appreciate the time you spent educating yourself today. We'll talk to you on the next episode.